Blog Talk Radio.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, we come before you bowing the needs of our heart and beseeching you, Heavenly Father, to please give ear to our prayer. Gracious and merciful Father, first and foremost, I want to thank you for the blessing and life that you have bestowed upon me, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and sisters of Beth Yahweh Keh. Gracious and merciful Father, I ask you to forgive me for my sin that I commit against you knowingly, unknowingly. I ask you to cleanse my heart, to cleanse my mind by the blood of Yahushua, of my sin, of my iniquity, that I may stand before you, that I be worthy to speak your word to your people. And I pray for your people, Heavenly Father, those who are near, those who are far, those who are struggling mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Help us, Heavenly Father, in our day-to-day walk. Help us to overcome the obstacles that hinder us in our walk with you. Through your Son, you promised all things, whatsoever we shall ask in his name. Therefore we pray, Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Heavenly Father, as we embark upon the discussion and study of your word, lead us and guide us by your Spirit. Help us, Heavenly Father, to see the truth of your word and engrave that word upon our heart, upon our mind, Heavenly Father, that it become a part of our being, that it assist in our transformation, that we be not conformed to this world, gracious and merciful Father. I pray that you forgive us all, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us all, Heavenly Father, and continue to lead and guide us all. Our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers. Inaugurate for us this month for good and for blessing, for joy and for gladness, for salvation and for consolation, for sustenance and for support, for good life and for peace, for pardon of sin and forgiveness of iniquity, for atonement of willful sin. May this month be the final end of all our travails, a start and beginning for the redemption of our soul. For you have chosen your people Israel from all the nations, and you have set forth the decrees of Rosh Chodesh for us all. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies Israel and Rosh Chodesh. Hallelujah. And welcome once again to The Truth Shall Prevail as we continue with our new month or Rosh Chodesh teaching. First and foremost, I want to apologize for being late and not having this teaching come forth on the first day of the month for the new moon itself. My apologies for that. But nevertheless, we're here. And I just pray that the Most High lead us and guide us as always as we discuss his word. I want to start off by saying, praise, glory, and honor be to his holy and to his most precious name. I want to just touch on something that happened recently in regard to, you know, life in general. And recently, for those who are avid news watchers, I'm sure you all know by now, being so it's the fourth day of the month, and the news broke on the first day of the month, unfortunately, about one of the basketball stars, Kobe Bryant. I want to send our condolences to his wife and his children, as well as, you know, his family members and friends who are near and dear to the brother, as well as his 13-year-old daughter, as well as the other passengers on the helicopter that crashed this past weekend. And I pray that the Most High strengthens them all during this difficult time. You know, it's always tough dealing with the loss of a loved one, especially when the loss comes in such a tragic event, such as an accident. But through all of this, and in no way, shape, or form, is what is about to be said being said to take anything away from, you know, the grief that the family and the friends are going through regarding the loss. Even myself, for example, when I first saw the news on the television screen and I told my wife, I felt some kind of way about it. I didn't even know the brother, you know. I admired the brother's play on the basketball court, but I didn't know him personally. Nevertheless, to hear of such a tragedy, it hurt me a little bit, you know. Of course, not to the degree that it would hurt those who are closer to him, but I did feel something, you know. And throughout the past few days, a lot of people have been saying various things about the brother and, you know, how good a person he was. In addition to what he was able to do on the court, they talked about what he's able to do off the court, you know. And throughout it all, just listening and taking it all in, the Creator put a thought on my mind as it pertains to him. And again, like I said, this isn't to take anything away from the brother. But nevertheless, it is a truth. Now, when you think about everything that the brother was capable of doing, regardless of being on or off the court, how many people stop to recognize that the ability that the brother had was given to him by the Creator of the heavens and the earth? And what I mean by that is this: the breath of life. That life, that vitality that the brother possessed while he lived on this earth was given to him by the Most High. Now, that thought, I believe, was given to me in connection to what we're going to be talking about, as we are currently in the 11th month, speaking of which, the Hebrew month of Tevet. But the thought that the Most High put on my heart and my mind is the love of Yah. The love of Yah. Do we love our Heavenly Father? Do we love the Most High? Now think about that. You know, most people who have a belief in a supreme being, a higher power, they will be quick to say, yes, I love God. I love the Creator. I love the Most High. But do we really? Now, I'm saying that because of everything that went forth, you know, in regards to the brother, and everybody wants to, you know, show up to the brother and his family. And then on top of that, the reality of our mortality is put on display. Now we get the mindset of wanting to call our relatives, our friends, and express to them the love that we have to them or for them. But do we love the Creator? Now think about that. And I want to touch on something in regard to that. Now this is especially true when it comes to believers. So we want to just do a few passages today. We're not going to be long, just to give everybody a thought, because I think sometimes we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, you know, and some of the simpler things tend to get away from us, you know. One thought that he gave me in regard to his word, you know, and past several weeks, I mean, for some time now, as it pertains to his word, the Creator has been revealing many different things in respect of what he has given to his servants, the prophets. Now, the thought that he put on my heart and my mind is multifaceted. Multifaceted. Now, what does that mean, to be multifaceted? First and foremost, the term is used primarily in regard to jewelry, especially when you are referring to a gem, which is said to have many facets. And when it comes to a gem, the many facets of a gem, basically you're talking about the small polished surface of a cut gem. Now, if you think about a gem that has several different smooth sides, and it can be a variety, you know. Multifaceted means simply more than one. But in addition to the term referring to a gem, which you can pull some other truths from that, the term also means having many aspects, many abilities. Now, as it pertains to the word, you know, as I was saying recently, the Moray of that Yahweh camp have been going through the word as the Most High has given to them. So what you're seeing in different teachings, you're seeing the word in various perspectives, not only in connection to the individual that's bringing it forth, but what's being brought forth. When you think about the Torah, which many have translated simply as law, and that diminishes and it takes away from what the Torah actually is. Yes, included in the Torah, there are instructions that we are supposed to live by. That's one aspect of it, if you will. But you also have poetry in the Torah. When you think of the Tehillim or the Psalms, when you think about Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, or the Song of Shlomo, Song of Solomon, pure poetry. Nevertheless, revelation. But not only that, as we have been discussing, the Torah is a historical document. So there's much history. There's much culture that we can learn from studying the Torah. And when I say Torah, as we have discussed in the past, the term is not limited to the first five books, but it is a word that encompasses the entire library from Bereshit to Chazon, Genesis to Revelation, including some of the apocryphal books as we have been going through. But when we take all of these into consideration, one of the thoughts that the Most High gave me, we have to consider when it comes to the revealing of the word also is going to be multifaceted. So sometimes we're going to look at prophecy, And when I say prophecy, I mean it in the sense of the foretelling of things that are to come. Sometimes we're going to look at the Torah in respect to the history, and we're going to see what he's clearly showing us in regard to what has been laid out about early man, about the people that he's chosen to represent him in this world, etc. But sometimes we got to get back to the simplicity of the word, which is why he put the thought on my mind, the love of Yah. We don't want to get too caught up in the prophecy, in the history, in the other forms of revelation, and lose sight of the foundation of what the Torah is built upon. And that is love. Okay? Now, one of my brothers, one of the Murei, several weeks ago, he brought forth a very interesting point. And I want to start off with a verse that expresses that particular point in regard to the relationship of the Creator with Israel. And we want to go to the book of Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah, and we want to go to chapter 3. And we just want to look at the first verse, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1, and just pay attention to what's being said. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Now, he's asking a question. He's having a conversation with Israel, of course, and he's asking this question. And whenever that question is being asked, he wants us to consider. He wants us to think. There's a point that's being made by asking such a question. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man, shall he return to her again? Now, one of the things you'll find, if you go to Devarim chapter 24, Devarim is Deuteronomy, and starting at verse 1, let's read a few things. That's when it says, they say, it's a reference to what Moshe gave to Israel. It reads, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before Yahweh. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which Yahweh, thy mighty one, giveth thee for an inheritance. So here we see Brother Moshe, as he is addressing the nation of Israel before he is taken off the scene, he gives these particular instructions in regard to a bill of divorcement. Now, the Mashiach, he spoke on this in regard to the bill of divorcement that Moshe wrote. And one of the things that he brings forth is that Moshe wrote the bill of divorcement because of the hardness of their hearts. Okay? But based on this command here, and it is a command, if a man writes a bill of divorcement for his wife, and she become another man's wife, the first husband, if the second husband should divorce her or the second husband should pass away, that first husband cannot take that woman to be his wife again. Okay? This is what the Torah teaches. So now, we wanted to go back to that particular verse just to give context to what we're reading in Jeremiah chapter 3, which again states, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? As we just found out in Deuteronomy, the woman would be considered as defiled. Well, listen to what he says there next. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. He's talking about Israel, okay? And the many lovers that he's referring to are the various gods and goddesses, the various philosophies or theologies, sciences, etc., that Israel has taken hold on in place of the Most High. This is what he's saying. Our forefathers and even our brothers and sisters today, including us, played the harlot by our mind being focused and putting our hearts on something other than the mighty one who created us. But listen to what he says. Yet return again to me, saith Yahweh. Do you understand the significance? Do you understand the power of what's being stated there? In spite of the fact that we have been running around interacting with this power, interacting with that power, getting caught up in this doctrine and that doctrine, in spite of us committing adultery, and I'm speaking in the context of Israel being the wife to the Creator. In spite of that, the Most High said, yet return again to me. That's love. In spite of the wrong that we have done, that's love. But again, the question is this. Do we love Yah? Simple request that he asked. And think about relationships today, okay? Man, woman. One of the things that you find is that people want to be shown love. You understand? See, it's more than just saying the words, I love you. Love, something that we learned years ago. And when you think about Hebrew, the Hebrew language, a lot of the Hebrew language, when you get into the grammar of it, you're getting into what is considered to be an active language, a dynamic language. It is a living language, contrary to what people may say or what people may believe. So when you think about the term love, ahab, or ahava, that word is an action word. That word implies that we are supposed to do something to show forth that love. What does the Most High require of us in regard to showing that we love Him? And see, when it comes to love, the world in and of itself, when it comes to love, one of the things that you find is that we do not have a problem showing love to our fellow man, which is a good thing. You have people in the world who are atheists, and they will do all that they can to show love toward their fellow man. Again, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But the Messiah was asked a question. Let's go to Matthew in chapter 22, verse 34. We're going to start there. And this is Matthew, by the way. Okay. It says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the Torah?' Yahushua said unto him, 'You shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" Stop right there. The first and great commandment. How many of us have put the Creator first in our lives? Now think about that. Don't be so swift to answer that. See, when these questions are asked, especially in regard to our personal relationship, don't look to the person on your right. Don't look to the person on your left. Look in the mirror and ask yourself this question. Have I put the Creator first in my life? Because one of the things that we like to do, we like to ask the Most High for things. See? And when we ask the Most High for these things, whatever it may be, could be health, could be wealth, whatsoever your heart desires, we pray for. But when we ask for these things and we don't get them when we want them, how do we react? Think about yourself. Think about the times that you have asked the Most High for something. And one of the harsh truths and the lessons that I personally had to learn, sometimes the Most High will tell you no. I believe wholeheartedly, according to the Torah, I believe it's the truth beyond a shadow of doubt. I believe that we will and can get our heart's desire. But here's the other piece that we sometimes neglect. It must be according to the Creator's divine will. Not only that, sometimes we ask for things that may not be good for us. So the Creator, being the loving Father that He is, He may not give us what we want, but more importantly, does He give us what we need? Okay? Now, I wanted to mention that because when we ask for things, sometimes we get a little bit out of shape if we don't get what we want, if we don't get our way, and we start to react like spoiled children, you know? Think about your life. And this is one thing that bewilders me. And it bewilders me now, but I understand because I've been in that predicament myself before. Now, the Creator requires us to do what? Listen to what He said. Let me finish this out, then I'm going to go to another passage. It says, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Yahushua said unto him, "You shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart." What does that mean? With all your soul. What is He requiring of us? And with all your mind. In other words, when you read this, we are supposed to be totally devoted to the Creator of the heaven and the earth, rightfully so. And one of the realities that He's helped me to see, helped me to understand, and what I often request of people, take a deep breath. That life that you have that's being inhaled and exhaled, that life that you have that is coursing through your veins, that life does not belong to you. As the old cliche goes, we are on borrowed time. At some point, guess who's collecting his life? He's taking that back. We are here for just a moment. Matter of fact, I believe one of the prophets said how life is like a vapor. Think about when you're cooking and you see that steam rising up. Where does that steam go? Of course, we're not getting into the scientific explanation of all that, but the point is, you see that steam, you see it as it's around the pot, as it's coming up from the pot, but as that goes higher, it just disappears. That's what he meant. He said, our life is like a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. But in the course of time that we have that life coursing through our veins, that we're inhaling and exhaling that spirit, what are we doing with it? What are we doing in honor of the mighty one who granted us the opportunity to live? He said, let's read that again. Yahusha said unto him, you shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But then he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, what he means is this. The Torah is based on love. Simply put, the Torah is based on love. Think about that. Now, let's turn to something else. Let's turn to the words of Mashiach. Spoke highly about love. Let us come to understand what it means for us to love the Most High. Listen to what it says. Now we're going to the book of Yohanan or John, and we're going to chapter 15. Okay, let's start at verse 1. Let's read down a little bit. Let's get this understanding. Okay. Now, and before I read, one of the other thoughts, and I mentioned what month it was, the 11th month. Yeah, not 11th month. Currently, it's the fourth day. Actually, we're going into the fifth day now that the sun has set at the time of this teaching. Now, think about this. In 2 months, we're going to be entering into, or just a little less than 2 months actually now, but in approximately 2 months, we will be entering a new year, okay, according to the Hebraic calendar, okay, the biblical calendar, okay. We will be entering into a new year. Let us start preparing our hearts. In our minds. Let us start preparing to rededicate. We just went through a season of rededication, Hanukkah. Okay? Getting us ready for the time that's fastly approaching. Let us begin to prepare our hearts and our minds to be better for the Most High. Let us prepare to be better servants of the Most High. To be better husbands or wives, to be better fathers or mothers, to be better brothers or sisters, to be better at whatsoever the Most High commands us to do. Okay? Get our minds right. Because a new opportunity is going to be presented to us. You see? Now, the passage that we're about to read is part of a teaching that Mashiach Yahushua did during Pesach before he laid his life down. This is one of the topics he discussed while they were at the table. So listen to what he says. And it's significant that this happened at Pesach. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let me stop right there for a moment as far as the purging of it. See, we are those branches. What is he purging? He is, matter of fact, let's do this. Let's make a comparison with something that Brother Shaul says in another place. He said it like this: mortify the deeds of the flesh. Okay? Think about that. You remember in one of the letters that Brother Shaul wrote, and he talked about the works of the flesh, what it is that we manifest. Okay? So we have to get rid of those things. What the Most High oftentimes allows to happen in our lives, he allows situations to occur, which we bring on ourselves based on decisions that we make. But the Creator allows that. And let me say this too, because you only get one time to do this. You only live once. Matter of fact, let's retract that. Let's do this. We got an option. We're either going to live twice or we're going to die twice. So I had to scratch the, you only live once, you only live once. See, that's deceptive. And my apologies for even rehashing that deceptive line. Some of you may be listening to me now and they may be asking the question, what do you mean you only live twice? You can live twice or die twice. Think about it. This is the choice that we're given. See, right now, we are living in this physical world. Now, some of us, and I guess I can say a majority of us, are going to die from this physical world. But if we have the Messiah, Yahushua, in our lives, if we have accepted him as our Savior, as our Redeemer, and we receive that salvation, then we can live again. So that would be living twice, if you will. But if we do not accept Mashiach, Yahushua, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, we die from this physical world. But when we resurrect to judgment, and then we cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we have an option as human beings, not just believers, human beings. Because whether you accept it or not, human beings are in the exact same category in regard to salvation. We only have these options. What will we choose? We can either choose to live twice or we can choose to die twice. Okay? Now, what he's teaching us here, going back to Mashiach's teaching, when he says he purgeth it, and we're making that comparison now with what Brother Shaul said, how we should mortify the deeds of the flesh. And we got to compare that now with when he was breaking down the works of the flesh. Again, life situations come about. One of the things that he told to Adam and Hawa, he said, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. In other words, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What they didn't understand is that they opened up a whole world where now humanity must experience both. We must experience what the Creator considers to be good. We must experience what the Creator considers to be evil. But we have to choose. We have the ultimate decision. Our fate is in our hands. Okay? So when we make certain decisions, again, we only get this opportunity. What I mean by that is this. This is not like playing a video game. This is not like, okay, I made a mistake on the video game. I may get out. I may die in the video game. Okay, it's going to start me back over from that checkpoint, and I get another opportunity to get it right and not make the same mistake. That's not how life works. In our lives, we have to make choices. When we make choices contrary to the Creator, we must now live with those consequences. There's absolutely nothing we can do to alter it. We can't go back and get a do-over. We can't. So we have to be mindful now that we're making the right choice. Hence, the Torah. If we believe in it, which brings faith into the picture now. Okay? But what he's saying is here. What he's saying is every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. In other words, we have to be productive for the Creator. We can compare that line with the parable of the talents. Remember? He gave this man 5 talents. He gave this man 2 talents. He gave this man 1 talent. He went away for some time. When he came back, the one that had 5 now had 10. The one that had 2 now had 4. But the one that had the 1 talent, he buried it. He didn't do anything with it. What did he do? He took it away from him. He didn't bear fruit. Now, what's the fruit that we're supposed to bear? Think about it. It's the fruit of his spirit. You see? Now, the fruit of the spirit is the contrast to the works of the flesh. So if we continue in the works of the flesh, he says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But if we allow the fruit of the Spirit now to form and start to come forth, he says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, he's going to start removing the works of the flesh. He will start removing what hinders us in our walk with him. Okay? Let's get back to his teaching. Verse 3, John chapter 15. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Listen to that word. Abide in me. What is he saying? What do you mean, abide in him? See, we've seen this word before. See, the same word. In the Greek, the word is meno. Not only does it mean to abide, it also means to continue, as in, if you continue in my word. It's the same thought, the exact same thought. But what he's saying here, abide in me, continue in me, dwell in me. But then he goes on to say, and I in you. So you're not alone. You know why? We have a relationship. That's what he's teaching us. But do we love him? We're in a relationship with the Most High. Sure, we can say the words, I love you, but what are our actions doing? Are we showing that we love? It's more than just lip service. Matter of fact, in one place he said this, this people do honor me with their lips, and with their mouth they do service. Something along those lines. I may not have quoted it verbatim, but you get the thought. You get the thought. See, we don't want to be those people who talk a good game. Because some people, they got that gift of gab, and they can talk a good game when it comes to the Most High. You know? There's a passage that talks about how they had that appearance of godliness, but denied the power thereof. We don't want to be those people. Okay? But he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Listen to what he's teaching us. Again, there's that continuity now. And remember that continuity. That's an important word. We'll touch on that another time. okay? But just keep that thought in mind. Continuity, continuance. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Do you see what's happening? We have to continue in him. See, what does it mean to continue in him? It's the same. Continue in his word. What does he mean, continue in his word? Obeying his voice. For example, let's talk about the test command. Shabbat. That's the test command. You know what we can compare the Shabbat to? The Sabbath day? Since we're talking about relationships, the Sabbath is date night. See? We have an obligation to appear before the Creator every Sabbath. Now, of course, there are some exceptions. According to the Torah, according to the instructions that we live by, if a person is unclean, they are exempt from fellowship. Okay? If a person is unclean. Now, leeway is given if a person may be sick. You know, if you're sick and you're weak and you're unable to get out of bed, of course, that would be an exception. But one of my brothers, one of the Moray, he brought forth a very interesting point several weeks ago. And this is one that needs to be considered. If you can get out of your bed and go work for the man when you are sick, but decide you want to stay home, not come to service, then you need to consider your priorities. And that is a true statement. You need to consider your priorities. Okay? And that's something for, you know, people in that predicament to chew on a little bit. Okay? But let's move on. So we have date night. How many of us are continuing in the word? How many of us are abiding in the Messiah and we're keeping that date night? Think about it. That is a command. And again, we refer to that as the test command because the Creator said he's going to give them something to see whether or not they're going to walk in his Torah. And he taught them about Shabbat, the Sabbath day. See? And the Sabbath day, what we got to understand is very important. It is a vital piece of our walk with the Creator. And this is why. He laid out a seven-day week. He says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. So he gives us 6 times 24 hours to take care of whatever business we need to take care of. But not only throughout the 6 days are we taking care of that business, you know what else we're supposed to be doing? We have 6 times 24 hours to prepare for one day. Just one day. Think about it. He gives us 6 days to prepare for that special meeting that we're going to have. See, and here's the thing. He understands that throughout the course of the week, we're going to have battles. He knows that. He knows we live in a world with unclean spirits and fallen angels who are on the attack to kill, steal, and destroy. He understands that. So he gave us a rest day, see, a time that we step away from the burdens of the world and we get refreshed, we get rejuvenated so we can take on the next 6 days. That's what our date night is supposed to be. And I say date night because the sun sets and the evening and the morning is the Shabbat, the Sabbath day, see. He set things up as the scriptures teach. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He set things up for our benefit. But how many of us are taking advantage of that blessing of the Sabbath day? Or are we withdrawing from that fellowship? You see? Think about it. The Sabbath is supposed to be a holy convocation, a time for gathering. Think about it. Are we allowing something as simple as that to slip away from us? See, because if we lose Shabbat, everything else falls apart. You know why? Because it is Shabbat that has been established that we can receive his word. See, and it is his word that gives us that power. See? Well, we can listen to it on the telephone. We can listen to it on the internet. Yeah? Those options have been made available. Now the question is, are we taking advantage of that? Are we using that now as an excuse not to fellowship? Think about it. See, these are questions. Again, don't look to your right. Don't look to your left. Look in the mirror. Focus on yourself. See, another problem with people in the world. We focus more on what everybody else is doing when you are going to stand before the Creator on your own two feet for the life that you have lived with the breath that he has given you. You will be answered for what you have done, not anybody else. So we need to look in the mirror and ask these questions to ourselves. Do I love Yah? Do I love him? Am I showing him that I love him? Or am I talking a good game? You see? You can say all the foolishness all you want. What is your life showing? What are you proving? Some people may hear my voice. And they may say, well, I don't have to prove anything to you. Well, it's not about proving it to me. It's about proving it to the Creator. This is his word. I'm reading what the Creator inspired to be written. Matter of fact, when you look at the words of Mashiach, if you have that red letter version, these are the words that he himself said, that he himself spoke. So let's continue to get into what he's teaching them during Pesach, which is coming up in 2 months or so. Verse 6, John chapter 15. If a man abide not in me, listen to that. In other words, if you do not continue, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Now think about this. Here's the truth. Now, every year, we go out to the campsite. Now, I'm using this as an example. Of course, you probably have a backyard. You may have trees in your backyard. If you ever see a tree that's alive, and you see a branch on a tree that's alive, and you try to break that branch, it's very flexible. It bends. Of course, eventually you put enough power into it, you can strip it off, but one of the things that you're going to find is that it's moist on the inside because it has life in it. But when you take a branch that's laying on the ground that was at one point a part of the tree, but for some reason it was broken off, now it's on the ground. But you pick that one up and you break that, it's going to snap because it's dry on the inside because it has now withered. This is what he's talking about. He gives us the physical world to teach us things. Listen to what he said. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Question. Is this what we want to happen to us? Do we want to be that broken branch? Do we want to be that dried branch that has withered away? But listen to what happens next. He says, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, this is used good for kindling now. Is that what we want to become? Kindling? Because if we don't want to become kindling, what we need to do is abide in Mashiach, continue in his word, obey his voice, do what he says. Let's continue. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now listen to what he's saying. See? We often pray after the words that Brother Shaul wrote. Let us not be conformed to this world, but let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, it is the word. It is the input of the word that renews the mind. This is what he's saying here. See, and my words abide in you. The words have to stay in you. How many of us are allowing the word of the Creator to abide in us, to dwell in us? Think about it. And don't look to your neighbor. Focus on yourself. As an individual, are we allowing the word to abide in us? He says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And we touched on that a little earlier. Okay? He says, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You hear that? Again, the Creator wants his people to be productive. Are we bearing fruit for him? And what is the fruit? The fruit is the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Come on now. Of course, he made several others, but the founding fruit is love. And what you find is that everything else is an extension, an expression of that love. Remember, love is an action word. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples, my Talmudim, my students. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I love that part right there. You know why? Because it takes us back to the first time that love was mentioned in the Torah. Abraham loving Yitzhak. See? This is what's being expressed. As the Father hath loved me. But then he goes on to say, so have I loved you, which takes us to the second time that love is mentioned in the Torah. And it says that Yitzhak loved Rivka. See? So Abraham, who points to the Father, loves Isaac. He points to that son. And Isaac, in turn, loves Rebecca, who points to now the relationship between us and Mashiach. Beautiful. When we understand why things were said and how the word has been designed, he said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Stay with me. Abide in me. Let my word stay in you. Why? Because it is the word that's going to unite us. See, that's the gift that he gives to us. We'll be getting into that soon as well. That's the gift, that's the earnest, as the scripture says, that he gives to us. See? Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, do you hear that? How many of us believe that? How many of us have faith in that? How many of us believe that to be true? If we keep the commandments, we shall abide in his love. Listen to what he said. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall continue in my love. You hear that? He told us. So what happens when we don't keep the commandments? That means we're not continuing in his love if we believe what the Torah is teaching us. Do we believe that? That's the question. He says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, I have given you an example. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. Guess what? That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And that your joy might be full. You hear that? Now, do you see the manifestation there? Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now he gets into one of the famous passages of the Torah. Now, I'm not trying to breeze over this passage either, just for those who are listening. It is important that we show love one toward another. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. But the message for this particular Rosh Chodesh is whether or not we love Yah. See, because we can go to the letters that Brother Yohanan, Brother John wrote to the assembly, to the church, about the love towards the Creator. You see, he says, how is it that you can love the Creator who you can't see, but then be mistreating your brother who you see all the time? So what that does, that now gives us some balance. You see, we understand what the Torah teaches. The greatest commandment is our love towards the Most High. The second is like unto it, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Okay? So we're not breezing over it in a sense that it's not as important, but the focus right now is whether or not we love the Most High. So he continues in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You hear that? How many of us want to be a friend to the Most High? And when you look this word up for friend, it comes from the Greek term philo, as in Philadelphia. How many of us want to be a friend or a beloved one to Messiah? Again, it's about choice. What is it that we choose to do? He says, again, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Once again, keeping the commandments. Verse 15, he goes further. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. And right there, which we talked about a few weeks ago, when it comes to revelation, one of the ways that the Most High expresses his love toward us is by revealing his word. By opening up his word and pulling back the layers and letting us see exactly what it is that he's saying. This is one of the ways that he manifests his love. So when we get into the poetry, when we get into the history, when we get into the prophecy, when we get into the instructions themselves, and he starts to open that word and help us to see what he's really saying, when he gives us that spirituality, it is because of love. Never forget that. Because sometimes this is what happens. And different people like different things, you know. And I'm speaking on something that I heard somebody say before. Well, some people, they want to come to service and they want to hear messages similar to what we're talking about right now. You know, what it is we need to do to show love towards the Most High, what it is we need to do to show love towards our fellow man, you know. And those are good messages and very powerful messages. And I dare say the most important messages. But the other truth to that is this. That's not all he revealed in his word. So at some point, he wants us to get into the other teachings because he gives us all of it. One of the things that you find about the Creator, and he's helping us to see this, when it comes to being a true believer, and what I mean by a true believer, a person who believes in the Creator of the heavens and the earth, not one of the gods or goddesses of the world, which are idols. That's idolatry. When you're talking about being a true believer, the true believers should be well-rounded. And what the Creator wants us to be is just that, well-rounded when it comes to his word. You come across different people and they become experts in this part or that part, etc. The Creator wants his people to be well-rounded. Now, let me say this. Among a congregation, okay, or the nation, you may have some who specialize in certain things as far as knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You know, not everybody can go through the Torah and understand Hebrew. That doesn't mean that the Creator can't use them. Some people have a knack for that. Not everybody is that good at history, being able to pull different events from the scripture in regard to the historical aspect and in relation to other historical events that happen outside of the Holy Scripture. Not everybody is into that. But if you have different people who have been given different gifts, so to speak, and these people come together and they're working as a unit, a team, in the congregation, they will get everything that's necessary for us to be well-rounded. So some messages, you're going to talk about prophecy. Some messages, you're going to talk about what the adversary is doing. The Bible teaches that. If the Creator didn't want us to know about it, he wouldn't have taught about it. He would not have inspired these things to have been written. He wants us to understand about himself. If he didn't, he would not have written it by his servants, the prophets. And like we're discussing tonight, he wants us to remember love. Remember that first and that great command, love Yahweh with your heart, your soul, and your mind. This too is important. Okay? So, John 15:15 again. He says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. All things, he said. He said, you have not chosen me. Listen to that. Let that sink in for a moment. Meditate on that sometimes. If you are a true believer, if you have been called out of this world system, if you have accepted Yahushua, HaMashiach, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, and as your soon coming King, it is not because there's something special about you. We are all nothing but the dust of this earth. From dust we came, to dust we all shall return. But we're chosen. Think about that. You're not sitting in the body of Mashiach because you are better than the rest of humanity. Think about that. The word was presented to you. You accepted it. Any human being that accepts the word is just as important. This is a lesson in humility. Our brothers and sisters out there who are caught up in worshiping the idols of the world, the gods, the goddesses, the various doctrines, philosophies, theologies, sciences, etc. They too are love. Albeit their behaviors are not, but as human beings, as individuals, they too are love in spite of the evil lifestyle that they may be living. All it takes is for either one of them to accept the word that the Most High has revealed, and they too will be partakers of that salvation. So count yourself blessed. Count yourself worthy to have been chosen. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, let's put this in context now. He is speaking at this time to the Talmudim, the disciples. Okay? Let's put that in context. But for those who are believers today, again, true believers, again, he has chosen us. Okay? Remember, he asked Brother Kepha, who men say that he is. Eventually, Brother Kepha says, you are Mashiach, son of the living mighty one. And he told Brother Kepha, Brother Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. So if you have accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as your Savior, as your Redeemer, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Okay? So let's continue. Like I said, I'm not going to be long. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Okay? Keep these things in mind, family, because the Creator, he blesses us. He blesses us with his word. He blesses us with his compassion. He blesses us with understanding. Do not allow the blessings that have been bestowed upon you to be taken away. As Brother Shaul says, let no man steal your crown. Are you struggling? Why are you struggling? What is going on in your life that has caused you to turn away from the Creator? Are you angry with the Most High? I've been there. I've been angry with the Creator. Again, because things didn't go the way I wanted. I asked for something and he told me no. I had to accept it. Doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. Doesn't mean that he doesn't care for me. It shows that he knows what's best for me. Sometimes what's best for us is painful. You know, taking my mind to exercise for a brief moment. And they say, no pain, no gain. In other words, when you're doing exercise, now, there's a fine line to this. But when you're doing exercise, one of the things that's going to happen when you're building your body, when you're building your muscles, in order for those muscles to grow, these muscles have to be put to an extreme test so that the body says, oh, we're going to need more muscle to handle this weight that's being lifted. And that's painful at times, whichever exercise you're doing. But in the long run, your body now starts to adapt so that it can handle the pressure of whatever weight or whatever exercise that you're doing. You see, this is the same concept that applies or can be applied to our life and dealing with our mind. See, the Creator wants our hearts and our minds to be strong. When you think about the power of His Word, this is not just words. The Word gives us power, but He also understands in order for us to gain that power, we have to go through some things. So He can't give us everything that we ask for. At some point, He has to allow the calamity to strike, the calamity to fall. Because what it does, it toughens us up mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So if you're having difficulty, if you're having struggles in your life, don't be angry with the Most High. Talk to Him. Express how you feel so His Word can comfort you, so His Word can strengthen you, so His Word can begin to tear down what needs to be removed. Because remember, we are supposed to be purged. Sometimes cutting things away is going to be painful. Now, what does it take for things to be cut away from us? It depends on the individual. But whatever the struggle you're going through, keep in mind the Most High is with you. And having the Most High on your side, Scripture said, if Elohim be with you, greater than if the whole world be against you. The Creator knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows you have some pain. But don't allow the pain to cause you to move away from it. Allow that pain to draw you closer to Him. He loves us. There's nothing that will tear us away from the love of a father, a parent, if you will. Nothing. Think about it. Those who have children, and even if you don't have biological children, those who have nieces, nephews, younger siblings, think about it. What can cause you to hate your children? What can cause you to hate your siblings? Likewise, our Father loves us. Do we love Him? Our Mashiach, our husband, loves us. Do we love Him? That's the question that the Most High wants us to consider as we are preparing to enter into a new year. We have to get our hearts and our minds right, family. And I pray in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach that He strengthens us all by His Spirit, that our hearts and our minds be focused on Him, not turning aside to the right or to the left, not going astray and getting caught up with the winds of doctrine in the world, planting our feet on that solid rock, on that good ground, that we may stand firm, that we may stand strong, that we as pillars uplift the truth of his word, and as warriors continue to defend his word. Let us all love the Creator more than our life itself, because he showed us he loves us more than his life. He was willing to lay that life down for us. Are we willing to do the same? I pray that the remainder of this month be a blessing to those who love Yah. And I pray that the strength of the Most High be endowed upon each and every one of us by his Spirit, that we may all receive the help that we need to continue in his word, that we be his Talmudim, that we may know his truth, and that his truth may set us free. Hallelujah.
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes where there was a flame. Truth is that you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name. Not done.